0-2 swung on, that's line down the left field line. It'll fall in for extra bases. Trotting home is Cam Williams. Rounding third, Hodo racing for the plate. He'll score. A second RBI double for Trey Faltini in as many at-bats. And the Longhorns now lead it 6-2.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. You heard Craig Way on the call, the voice of the Longhorns, the voice as he's known on the east side, IMG Radio Network. I want to thank them for hooking us up with that call, as always. You can always watch the Triple Option with RBKD. You can go to hornfm.com and tap into the Twitch stream, and you can watch us on the Twitch stream right now. Got my. You've probably seen me from different angles today because BK's moved the camera like four times. I don't know why. Who moved the camera initially?
I don't know.
I mean, why they moved?
He told me.
Did Trey move it?
He told me he couldn't find a good angle with you.
That's probably true. it's hard to find a good looking angle of me, man.
Get out of here.
I would agree with him on that.
You're a good looking guy.
But I appreciate that, brother. Yeah, but we've been moving the cameras around.
Yeah.
So.
And right now, I think the people can only see
my head.
Like your hat.
Oh, it's a nice hat then.
It's a great
Shout
hat.
Out to Last Stand Hats.
All gas, no brakes.
No gas, no brakes.
But
hooked me up. My first day wearing the hat, actually.
Will it stay there, KD?
Katie's trying to mess with it.
Yeah, it's now, about to break
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he just made it worse. All right, I'm sad I even brought it up. My bad. I distracted the show. We only had 1 hour left, and I already screwed it up.
Hey, by the way, have you guys ever eaten a banana? You guys ever had one of those?
I love bananas.
I eat one banana a day.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. I end up eating one a day, too.
That an English muffin's my breakfast, usually.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe an egg on that. English muffin.
That's a healthy way to start.
Yep.
Yeah, I get some banana. I get mine into a smoothie, though. I do mine into a green smoothie.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like that. Dude, bananas are pretty good. I just had one. Someone left some in the break room.
Had you ever had a banana?
It had been years, I think.
Wow, okay.
That was really good.
Okay.
I was very impressed.
Did Trey leave that?
I guess.
You haven't had a banana in years.
Yeah, I don't know. I, like, forgot what they taste
When's
like.
The What's your fruit of choice? And when was the last time you had a piece of fruit?
Here we go.
Just had a banana. I told you.
No, I mean like prior to the banana. Wow, you should be able to know when your last piece of fruit was.
I think a couple weeks ago.
Wow.
I think I had a fruit.
Man,
they were fruit snacks. Does that count? Like I eat fruit snacks.
No.
100%. 100%
was grown.
Vitamin C.
You mean like gummy bears? Pretty much. Or
we don't know.
That?
No, not like not the Haribo gummy bears.
Okay.
Like
no,
that.
Fruit snacks don't count. I mean actual fruit, grown fruit that expires.
You guys ripens. You guys see me? I have one of these a lot that I'll bring it in. Best way to get your fruit in is smoothie.
Yeah, you got to do a smoothie.
Yeah.
The best way to get all that in. You'll learn this when you get old. Right now, there's no repercussions to what you're doing.
Exactly.
You don't eat fruit or you don't eat a salad for months
You'll
and your body still, you know,
I'm
works fine. It's still good.
Right.
At 40, dude, if I go without eating some greens or fruit for too long.
Pipes get clogged up.
My body, exactly. Mm. My body will turn on me.
Okay.
Yeah. Caribbean Way at Smoothie King.
Yeah.
That's
we'll
the move.
Shout out to them. Caribbean Way is so okay. good.
I like, see, I make my own. They're too expensive to go out and get smoothies.
So should I get one of those bullets? Do you have a bullet? Or
I have.
Because I don't want to have to clean that out every day.
Yeah, I got to text my woman and ask her what we use. Because we had a bullet and it wasn't strong enough. So we got something strong. We got the best damn juicer / mixer you can get.
Gotcha.
It's legit. And now I drink one every day of the week.
Is that right?
I make one. I make batches
get
twice
out.
A week.
Get out.
Is that air?
Woohoo!
That was nice.
Is that a replay?
No.
That was nice. Notre Dame. He's rooting for us by an Irish.
We've lost KD.
Yeah, we lost KD. We
there
had him with the smoothie discussion, and now he's totally gone. But
screw
anyway.
Smoothies. Boom!
All right. Texas baseball. So as we're getting back on track, we can discuss some Texas baseball here. We'll get some football discussion in, too, because we did just have a major recruiting weekend on the 40 acres. You're at 10 of the top 50 prospects in the 2023 class on campus. A lot of prospects, big-time prospects from the 2022 class. Actually, Texas got themselves a commitment in the 2022 class. Anthony Johnson. He is he's an athlete. He could end up being a tight end.
So Jones?
Jones.
Jones.
Oh, did I say Johnson?
You gave him a Johnson.
Damn it.
He's got a Johnson.
That's
sure.
true.
No.
You gave him a second Johnson.
Yeah.
Which would be
Jones.
Weird.
Jones. Yeah. No, but he could play defensive end, D line on a defensive front, or he could end up being a tight end. So we'll get back to that conversation, too. And he's from Nevada. Throw it out there, too. Anthony Jones. Thank you guys for correcting me there. All right. Let's get
Nevada and Arizona. There's some talent there.
Arizona is...
And there's a vacuum. Definitely Arizona. But I think Nevada's got some too.
Because, if I'm not mistaken, Spencer Rattler.
Arizona.
Purdy. Brock Purdy. Arizona too.
Mm-hmm.
Bijan. Arizona. Hell, the Big 12.
Jake.
Some of their best damn players going to be from Arizona.
Right.
Like the top guys in the league. Anyway, let's get some Texas baseball discussion and we can squeeze in some recruiting conversation. Katie, you've watched this game. You said you watched the last game, the Sunday game?
Oh,
you
Sunday game.
The Saturday game again. Okay, you watched the Sunday game three different times?
I've watched the Saturday game twice, the Sunday game three times.
Okay. So you've done almost a thorough evaluation of their performance.
Yep.
We have praised them because, I mean, I think there are so many different things to praise about this team and what they've done well. Talked about Tristan Stevens struggling a little bit to start that Sunday game, worked his way through it, and got a lot of support offensively. Anything that you could critique that could be considered nitpicky?
Yeah.
That could be considered, you know, negative, something they didn't do well?
Get your effing bunts down.
Okay.
When you're asked to bunt, get your bunts down. This team can win it all. I'm really confident with this team. I like this team. I mean, I liked them before I believed in them, like at this level. Get your bunts down. It's been a problem all year. You got to take that seriously, and you got to make sure that when you're asked to sacrifice, you're doing that for a reason. Stick your nose in there and get it down. You can tell that this has been frustrating me for a little while.
Oh, yeah. You've been talking about it for months.
In fact, that's all I say now. I have effing to go with it. I'll say it to myself like I did yesterday. Get your effing bunts down.
It hasn't come back to haunt them yet, though.
No.
It did in the Sunday loss to Oklahoma, but has it come? So it has in some individual games. Did they end up winning the Big 12 and being a number two national seed? Yes. So to really get to your point there, no, it has not hurt them. It will hurt you when you're facing the best of the best who are playing good ball and you're in 5-4, 6-5 games. It just will.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just hoped by this point in the season you'd have those issues figured out.
Yeah.
I've been saying that for a month.
You have.
And this is the last tournament. This is the last couple of weeks of the season for Texas, and they still don't have those issues figured out. And it's not like Texas is going out of character by bunting. It's not like, they don't bunt much of the regular season, but in the postseason they're going to switch it up a little bit because they know runs are at a premium this time of year. No, like, this is a team that is based on bunting. Not quite Augie-level bunting, but David Pierce is a big believer in playing small ball and advancing runners with the bunts. And you should not have this much of an issue with guys getting the bunt down.
No.
Especially guys at the bottom of the order. Like, that's kind of what you're asked to do, right? Help turn the lineup over to the top of the order, to the big bats, to the run producers.
Yeah.
If you're a bottom of the order type of guy, you have to be able to get the bunt down. That's just one of the ways you can contribute despite not being one of the better hitters on the team.
Totally agree. So, yeah, we're not even talking about Melendez here. I'm talking about the Trey Faltinis of the world, and Trey's bat is coming around. I thought Ty Harrington really put it nicely. He's got flexibility in his bat. And we saw that shooting the ball to right center. We saw that on the double that you heard from Craig there to left. I mean, look, I want these guys to swing. I think David Pierce and this coaching staff said this last week. They've done a fantastic job, a marvelous job of knowing when to bunt. And so Augie and I would get into it all the time. He had the 5 rings to show me, so he ended up winning the argument. But that, you know, hey, you don't have to bunt that much. In fairness to Augie, in 05 and 09 and 2010, he didn't bunt as much as people like to try and give revisionist history now. He still bunted, but he did that with more 2,000 teams. He kind of understood what his roster was. This roster is going to be about speed, going to be about power, but at times you're going to be asked to do that. I don't think they're predictable when they do that either, which makes it really tough. You can try and wheel around on them, and South Florida gamble with that a little bit, really crashing the third baseman and the first baseman. That's where this team's going to be so tough, because they can beat you in so many ways. They just got to be able to execute that stuff and get it done.
Is this guy in the field for Mississippi State, is his name Cumbest? Number 33, C-U-M-B-E-S-T?
Yes, it is.
How do you pronounce that?
I think you nailed it.
No, I'm looking at it.
No, it's,
that's
it's
how you spell it.
Cumbest.
C-U-M-B-S-T. B-E-S-T. Yeah.
Yes, that's awesome.
I'm asking because you guys watch more baseball than I do.
No, that's
the... What are the announcers saying about him?
Cumbest.
Cumbest?
No, they just don't want to have to say that.
I'm just saying, I don't know. I was just wondering.
Cumbest.
Yeah.
Cumbest?
Cumbest.
Now,
Cumbest? Is that how you pronounce it?
I have no idea.
If that actually, there was an A after that E in the last part of that name, then we'd really
be
talking.
Great.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Coom beast, but maybe the first part's pronounced differently. Mm.
I don't know how you. I was asking.
No, that's great.
I have no idea.
Great find, because I've got everything in front of me here.
I'm just staring at the screen that KD has.
Yeah, I've got the tracker up with everything, and Rod's looking at the left fielder. Good call there, Rod.
I don't know. I'm asking what his name is. I'm looking at a phonetic spelling. Then.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll take Kennedy in left field, and this is also a big outfield. This is where having three center fielders is really going to help. Kennedy had a nice sliding catch on that Saturday game. He started, you could tell, build some confidence and get out of it a little bit. He's had so many infield hits, so many bunts just to try and get things going, and his swing is looking good. His swing is coming around. This guy's got power. He's got a good stroke. It just kind of was in his own head this year, and that's part of baseball. That's why I say this is the toughest thing to do in sports is to hit a baseball. And if he's coming around at the right time, BK, you get the bottom of that order. Faltini, that bat flexibility that Harrington talks about, and then Kennedy, and hopefully Ardoin can just continue to have patient at-bats. That's when this lineup's really tough.
Yeah, it hadn't been the year Eric Kennedy wanted to have, but he came through. He delivered at the most important time, and I'm going to play this audio again because Craig Way absolutely knocked it out the park with his call of the walk-off on Saturday. Here it is, 3-3 in the bottom of the ninth. Eric Kennedy at the dish, at the dish.
First pitch to Eric. Swings here and hits the ball in the nose. This one may go over the head of Pena, the center fielder. It will! The Longhorns are going to win this game! Here comes Ardoin. Say goodnight to it, folks! Game one in the books. It's a walk-off over the head. Extra base hit. A walk-off from Eric Kennedy. And Texas is one win away from going back to Omaha.
Goosebumps.
Yeah, great call. He had a good feel for that, too, which is also why announcers need to be at the stadium calling the game. Not only so you're not stepping on each other's toes left and right, but also because you get a feel for that. And he knew the second that thing hit, even with a catcher running from first, ball game.
I actually preferred the Saturday game over the Sunday game.
Why?
That might sound weird.
It's weird.
I had seen Texas win a bunch of blowout games in the postseason, right? All three regional games were easy wins, and yesterday's game was an easy win. And as a fan, that's nice, right? Stress-free wins in sports are incredible. But odds are, when this team gets to Omaha, they're not going to be beating teams 12-2.
No.
Or 13-1. They're going to be playing close games like they did on Saturday. And they got punched in the mouth at the ninth inning on Saturday, right? You have a 3-0 lead. You've got one of your best bullpen pieces on the mound. You think you're good to go. All of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, it's 3-3. And South Florida has all the momentum. And here we go. Bottom of the ninth inning, tie game in a postseason atmosphere. This is what this time of the year is all about. And for Texas to deliver and bounce back the way that they did in the bottom of the ninth, that was cool.
Bottom of the order, too.
Bottom of the order, too. So, yeah, I love the blowout wins. And, my God, I would sign up for a bunch of double-digit victories in Omaha over close games, right? Save me the stress. But realistically, there are going to be some stressful moments for this club at TD Ameritrade Park, and the fact that they were able to deliver in that situation is big to me. It's important. So, I don't know. I just liked to see that, right? I feel better about this team having seen that than I would have if they won both games the way that they won yesterday's game, if that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense, and I think it's a very valid point that, yeah, you want to get tested. You want to be able to already be in that position, which they had not been. And the last thing you want to do is to have that happen in Omaha. Not that this team wouldn't have been able to respond or wouldn't have been ready for it because they've played close games this year. But, yeah, in that type of atmosphere to be put in that spot and to lose all the momentum and have to answer the way they did just kind of checks off another box as you head to Omaha. And look, I've seen a lot of boxes checked off before by a lot of teams, not just Texas, and teams will go there and go 0-2. Like, you need some luck. You got to be able to continue to take that momentum, but I would bet on this team right now.
I'd bet on them to do what?
To win it all?
I think this team's going to play in the championship series.
How about that? Love that. Love to hear that.
Against two?
I don't know. And I'm telling you, if you're just putting Vanderbilt in there, I'd watch out with that. I watched a lot of Arizona. Jay's club's rolling right now. And, hell, they won 16-17-2 in a winner-take-all game last night. And that offense, it looks really, really damn good. And then so does Stanford. I mean, Stanford can play.
They made quick work of Texas Tech.
They did. That wasn't close. And we know, as Texas fans, they lost 2 out of 3 to Tech. Tech can play.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, a lot of beer flowing at the dish
this
weekend,
imagine,
KD.
Man. This is why you got to keep it light. You got to keep it really light, and Miller Lite is the best way to go. It is the official beer of the University of Texas, so as they make that 37th trip and you're heading up to Omaha, make sure you got some Miller Lite to go with you. Please enjoy it responsibly, but it's all about taste. It's only 96 calories, one more calorie than Ultra, but you start with taste and you end with taste, and that's why I saw so many tweets and videos of Miller Lite as you're watching this game and they're showing the stands. I saw a ton of Miller Lite doing it the right way with the ultimate light beer, the official beer for the University of Texas. It's my favorite, should be yours as well. Please enjoy it and enjoy it responsibly.
All right. See, I can attest to a lot of beer flowing at the dish last night, both inside the ballpark and outside the park in left field. Hell of a party. Last night, great win for Texas, and once again, they're off to Omaha for the 37th time in school history. Nobody else has been there more than 25 times. Texas is going for a 37th. They already have more College World Series wins than any other program in the country. They've got a chance to add to that. The Longhorns await the winner of a game that just started.
You got to make that play.
Notre Dame and Mississippi State. The Fighting Irish with a 1-0 lead, but still very, very early on. Bottom of the first inning at Noble Field.
It's Coombest.
Coombest, okay.
Coombest.
Oh, okay. No, it's Coombest.
Yeah, it's Coombest.
It's Coombest. You got to say Coombest. It. So why you say it, it's Coombest. Yeah, Coombest. It's what you emphasize and de-emphasize. So Coombest.
I'm going to say it the way it looks.
It's Coombest.
And, yes. Yeah, so there you go. I'm not sure Notre Dame's going to have enough pitching, and that's one of their downfalls. Also, kicking it around. So if Texas does get them, put some pressure on that defense. That gets back maybe some of that short game. Let's see exactly what they can get done.
Notre Dame, Texas. That just sounds sexy.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm rooting for Notre Dame. It's a sexier matchup.
It is.
Yeah, and I think they're worse, so I'm rooting for Notre Dame.
Right. That's a better reason to root for Notre Dame.
That's the real reason.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, real quick, guys, I want to mention this, and we've alluded to this report a couple of times during the show, but 24/7, Horns 24/7 did a great job kind of recapping the big recruiting weekend it was for Texas football. We encourage you to check out their work and Inside Texas and Orange Bloods and all of the insider sites that do a great job covering UT. But, man, the Arch Manning visit came and went, and apparently it went extremely well from the Texas side. According to Mike Roach of Horns 24/7, the entire Manning family really loved the trip, and his source said the coaching staff has been first class in the way that they've handled the Arch Manning recruitment. So, by all accounts, a great trip for the top-ranked quarterback for the class of 2023. Still a long way to go in his recruitment, but, man, the fact that Texas is in the mix and the fact that apparently they did a great job with his visit, that's a good sign, guys.
That's a great
sign. It's real, man. It's real. And, I mean, that's just one of those recruitments. And I'm sure Sark is going to do really well in his 2022-2023 classes just because of the momentum. And we're still in a honeymoon phase, as Mike Roach calls it, too. So a lot of positive vibes coming out about the program. But you get a celebrity figure like Arch Manning, who's going to be the number one player in the country, and that's well-deserved. But he also is he's a member of the basically the royal family of football, the first family of football. That could end up being a huge linchpin for you. That could have that re-all the world effect that really Chris Sims had in that 1999 class with us. You could have that happening with Arch Manning in that 2023 class if Texas can have a good season. I think that's going to be key. Because if you have a bad season, all this credibility you've built up,
it'll go out quickly.
It'll go out the door quickly. Yep. If they look at that offense and go, oh, that offense sucks. Oh, that offense is boring.
Just another hype job
in Austin. Right. So Sark's got to back it up with good quarterback play so the quarterbacks can visualize themselves playing in that offense. And also, got to win. Just win, baby.
Just win. So you're telling me Stevie Wonder got Chris Sims on campus?
No, it was actually Stevie Wonder and Michael Jackson who basically ended up getting, Willie Nelson and your Lionel Richies and your Bruce Springsteen and all the other big stars at the time. When they wanted to make We Are the World, they went to Quincy Jones and said, Quincy Jones, we want to have every big star in music help make this song about, I think it was, is it Hunger Relief at the time?
We
Are the World. And they were like, man, we don't have enough clout to get all these people. And I think it was like Kenny Rogers and Lionel Richie. And they couldn't get all the stars. They wouldn't take their calls. They wouldn't take Lionel Richie's call or Kenny Rogers' call. Went to Quincy Jones. Quincy Jones said, man, if I get Michael Jackson and Stevie Wonder, if I get them on board, everybody I call and I mention those two names, they'll jump on the bandwagon. Guarantee you. And it worked. He had Stevie Wonder.
He told Willie he could smoke in there, too.
Yeah. It's true. But then everybody else was down with it. So I think that recruiting kind of works like that. Get that one linchpin, you'd be surprised how it can be just a snowball effect for the rest of the guys.
Stevie Wonder.
But he's gay. I mean, he's gay. Excuse me. He's blind.
He's actually neither of those things.
He is blind.
For those curious.
Come on.
That drop will never get old. So there's some Texas baseball, some Texas football conversation. What a weekend it was for the University of Texas. And we'll give you score updates from this Mississippi State-Notre Dame game as it progresses. Bottom of the first inning, Notre Dame with an early 1-0 lead over the Bulldogs. This game is important because, well, Texas will play the winner in its first game in Omaha this coming weekend. Coming up next, it's the BK Lounge here on the Triple Option with RBKD. Today is the 34th anniversary of one of the most infamous moments in television sports history. Plus, are lobsters a threat to steal your drugs? It's next.
4th and 5, the national championship on the line right here.
All the band is out on the field.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up. Yes!
I don't believe what I just saw.
Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Chalmers for the tie.
Got it.
In 2 seconds.
Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
Oh, wow. In your life, have you seen anything like that?
You believe in miracles? Yes.
Now, it's time to step inside the BK Lounge. Here's your host.
Who the hell is
Brad Kellner?
Baby, if you give it to me, I'll give it to you. I know what you want. You know I got it, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the BK Lounge. June 14th, 2021 edition of the Lounge. Alongside Kevin Dunn and Rod Babers, I'm BK Brad Kellner. And this edition of the BK Lounge is brought to you by Audio Visual Consultations. Give them a call, 255-8678, to get the home TV setup of your dreams. Quick shout-out to the Occupy Left Field crew for being so welcoming last night. They're always welcoming.
Yeah.
Not just to me, but to everybody. Hell of a party thrown by the left field guys. Also, shout-out to Matt and Tyler, a couple of dudes that I sat by during the game inside the dish. And who else? Corbin, too. Went to El Patio before the game. You guys ever been there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hadn't been there in years.
So they had closed that, and then there were family members that reopened it. And it got a big push, you know, because it's like one of those lifetime Austinite things that we've all been around. And they were going to close it, and they were like, nope, we're going to reopen it.
Do you guys know El Patio translates to the patio?
I do, yeah. Very well. Very good job.
Okay.
I did take Spanish for 3 years. So.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I did pay somebody to take my Spanish for 3 years. Guys, we do have a little bit of breaking news regarding Texas baseball. We have a game time for Texas's first College World Series game. The Longhorns will play on Sunday, 6 o'clock Central Time, against the winner of Notre Dame, Mississippi State. That game 1-1 into the second inning. So 4 games this weekend. 2 on Saturday, 2 on Sunday. The Longhorns play the latest game, the 4th and final game of the opening round of the College World Series. Once again, 6 o'clock on Sunday. We'll have that game for you right here on the Horn. It'll be on the Deuce, TV-wise.
The Deuce.
The Deuce.
Okay.
You all right over there?
It's like his dad joke.
No, I figured he was going to play
it. He did.
That
was
it. You know?
He left you hanging.
I know he did.
Play what?
The drop.
I don't have a drop.
Your morning, your Friday.
The fart drop. You love that.
No, that's always me having gas back here.
Love that.
Every time I play that. Guys, today is the 34th anniversary of one of the most infamous moments in television sports history.
Mm.
We've got some audio to set the scene.
Hello, Newman.
I hate Keith Hernandez. Hate him.
I despise him. Why? I'll tell you why.
Well, let me tell it.
No, you can't tell
it. You always tell it.
All right, tell it.
Just tell it.
June 14th, 1987. Mets, Phillies, we're enjoying a beautiful afternoon in the right field stands when a crucial Hernandez error opens the door to a 5-run Phillies ninth, cost the Mets the game.
Our day was ruined. There was a lot of people, you know, they're waiting by the players' parking lot. Now, we're coming down the ramp. Newman was in front of me. Hernandez was coming toward us. As he passes us, Newman turns and says, "Nice game, pretty boy." Hernandez continued past us up the ramp.
Then, a second later, something happened that changed us in a very deep and profound way from that day forward.
It wasn't.
He spit on us. And I screamed out, "I'm it!"
Then I turned and the spit ricocheted off him and it hit me.
Wow, what a story.
34 years ago, June 14th, 1987.
That's so funny you took the actual date that they gave, too, not the airing of the episode.
That's an all-time great episode.
It really is.
And a phenomenal scene. Did you guys know that the original script was written for Daryl Strawberry?
Did not know that.
I did not know that.
He was supposed to be Keith Hernandez, but he was having some legal issues at the time.
Yeah.
So Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld decided that probably not a good look to be promoting that Daryl Strawberry spitting on fans.
That's right. I got
you. They needed somebody who more beloved at the time.
Keith Hernandez.
Great.
That's a Vandalay Industry episode, too. Right?
Oh, yeah.
That's where we find out about that.
He's dating Elaine. He asks, you know, he and Jerry strike up a friendship, but then that moves too quickly because he asks him to help him move.
Yeah,
he's
you're
like,
right.
Help him. And remember, Costanza's like, I barely know the guy.
Yeah, he barely know
the guy. What a fast worker.
Oh, man. So that's one story. How about this one, guys? We need to watch out for our lobsters.
Lobsters.
They might be stealing our drugs.
Be careful if you're trying to get lobsters. We found that out earlier.
It's true.
You can
go lobster diving.
If you're hunting them.
You can be eaten by a whale and then spit out by the whale.
Yeah.
Or you could just make up a story about both of those things happening.
I'm not buying that.
I'm not buying it either. How about this, guys? We are researching here in this country. We do that a lot. We're trying to figure out whether or not marijuana smoke can ease the pain of lobsters as they're being cooked.
Oh, interesting.
Yep, we are testing whether or not exposing lobster to cannabis smoke will reduce their trauma before they are pretty much burned alive.
Yeah.
So the scientists place them in Maine lobsters in a sealed box filled with THC for 30 to 60 minutes at a time.
Wow.
And they would deliver the weed vapor in 10-second spurts every 5 minutes.
Oh, it's not that bad.
Not too bad. Yeah, I just kind of thought they were exposed to it.
I thought it like constantly had smoke. I was like, those lobsters are hot.
Oh, sign me up to be a lobster, dude.
Exactly.
Get me in that box.
That is some lobster hot boxing.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I'd hang out with those dudes, man.
All right, how do we ever find out how much pain they're going through, though?
I'm glad you asked. So they found the critter's movements noticeably slowed down. And they actually took samples from their gills, their claws, their heart, their brain, and their liver, which showed that they did, in fact, absorb THC. But, it just slowed down all of their movements externally and internally. All of their internal processes slowed down, too.
But they can't tell whether it was able to ease the pain or affect pain tolerance.
Nah, the conclusion they came to was basically it doesn't do anything.
Yeah, you're boiling something living alive.
Yeah, it still works a lot.
It's nothing you can give it.
Yeah.
I always felt bad about that.
I did too.
Lobster at Bob's this weekend was really good.
Okay. Oh,
Bob's
you didn't feel
really
too bad
job.
About it then, did you?
No. Same thing with foie gras.
Who now?
Yeah, foie gras.
Foie gras.
But I still, you know. I'm just hoping it's humanely sourced.
And when you do kill a lobster right before you boil it, it loses flavor, I'm assuming? Like, it loses its luster?
That's a good question. Why wouldn't you just kill it and throw it in there?
It's got to be fresh.
No, they say that.
They say it's got to be fresh. I literally
bet it still tastes good.
Yeah, so I'm with you. I'm like, how can it affect it that much if you kill it right before you put it into the boiling water?
Yeah.
Mm. Would you guys rather eat a THC-infused lobster or just a regular lobster? Does it make a difference which one you're preferring?
Good question. THC one would eat more because it'd have the munchies. So are they going to let it hang out and get fat?
Yeah.
I need to test that. I've tested the other experiment of THC and then you go eat lobster. But
that works.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It works. Yeah.
That one works.
In fact, you end up ordering a lot of lobster.
Yeah.
By the way, Cumbest is on first.
There you go.
Cumbest.
He's the best
at what
Cumbest. He does.
Cumbest. Say it fast. Cumbest.
That guy's got a built-in pickup line.
Yeah, he does.
Unreal. Hey, real quick, another story. I mean, this stuff happens all the time, and I hate that it's never happened to me. I think I've told y'all this before. Like, an item on my bucket list, I want to go see every ballpark. I want to see every stadium there is. Like, that's number one.
That's pretty cool.
But number two is I want to stumble upon a crap ton of drugs on a beach somewhere. It's like, I want to be in Galveston, like at my parents' place, and then I'm just walking the beach, and there's just millions of dollars worth of drugs washed up on shore.
What kind of drugs, though?
I don't care. I don't care if it's
cocaine or marijuana.
So not even drugs you would do?
I'd prefer cocaine. No, I'm not going to do them.
Right. Okay.
Well, you prefer cocaine?
That was a quick answer.
You can sell it more. Higher price.
And I'm not the guy who's going to call the cops, by the way, so no one's ever going to find out when I find
these. So you're going to just take the drug, the cocaine, and what are you going to do with it? Try to resell it on the street?
Yeah.
You can't do that.
No, I can do that.
No, you can't. You got to go to prison.
It's been done.
What do you mean? Finders keepers.
You don't have any experience in selling drugs of that nature.
Yeah,
you
better be careful once they find out how much you have.
Yeah, so you need like a crew. You need guns.
I'll get guns. I'll get it all.
You're gonna become
just
a
give me the drugs.
You're gonna
I'll figure it out. Yeah. I'll figure it out. Just let me find the drugs.
Have you ever seen
Dip into that supply.
No Country for Old Men, basically. It's kind of that plot where he runs up on a stack of cash.
Uh-huh.
I hate to spoil it for you. But then he's basically running for his life. That's going to be you.
Yeah.
Somebody's looking for those drugs, BK.
Yeah. They're washed up on shore. Finders keepers. Maybe keep better care of them.
Take better care
of your drugs. No, it is. That holds up in the court of law.
I found these.
Finders
sure it does. Loses weepers.
It is 9/10 of the law.
$1.2 million worth of cocaine was found at Cape Canaveral Beach.
Was it waterlogged? Was it damaged or was it actually some cocaine you could
Oh, yeah, we had that story, didn't
use
we?
Use and snort. Is it actually one?
You had that story?
I thought we talked about
it. Oh, it happens all the time.
Yeah. Like, it does happen all the time.
This one is today.
Okay, yeah, I got you. This was like a month ago. Because, I saw another one.
No, because really, that's what they do. That's built into the business model.
Right.
For those,
for
those cocaine, I could call them cocaine companies, but the cartels.
Yeah.
It's built, like, they understand we're going to drop a certain amount of bricks off in the ocean, and we're only going to recover 60% of them, and that's good, because that'll affect the price market.
Mexican cartel, a couple years ago, got chased away from Padre.
Oh, I can believe that.
And because they were using that as a drop-off.
Pablo Escobar had a submarine that he was bringing in cocaine into the United States in. A submarine.
It's awesome.
It is awesome.
Was it yellow?
No. Well done. Good job.
Averagely done.
That was pretty good.
If you cut into your supply, depending on the drug, you'll be doing yellow submarine. Boy, they were high when they wrote that.
Yeah.
Even let Ringo sing it.
So if you guys, anybody listening, if you stumble upon a bunch of drugs at a shore somewhere, don't call the cops, call me first, and I will take care of it from there. Thank you very much.
Oh, he's going to be a good dad.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. I always wondered about that, though. Yeah, if you find cash, you keep some of it.
You got
most
take
of
that.
It.
You can't
take that. But the drugs is hard because you want to flip it.
Yeah.
But you don't want to go to prison for trying to flip the million dollars with the drugs. Yeah. You ever seen, True Romance has a plot like that. You ever seen True Romance?
I have seen True Romance.
And they kind of like that. Remember he gets the drugs?
Uh-huh.
Great movie.
You just brought up two movies BK's seen.
I know. That's rare.
What was the other one?
That's true.
I don't know. I haven't seen either.
No Country for Old Men. But they're all kind
ones.
Of gangster movies.
Yeah,
and BK likes gangster movies.
Yeah. Tarantino is True Romance.
Okay. And the other was the Coen Brothers,
Tarantino
right?
Guy.
In the Coen Brothers, the No Country for Old Men?
My cousins?
The Coen Brothers who fart in Fargo and all that?
So. Yeah. I think
the Coen Brothers mixed up with the Farley Brothers or Fairley Brothers, one that you Dumb and Dumber on EGAT. Paul's never been more embarrassed just to do a show with me. What's going on? How do you not know that?
That's 2 weeks ago. He was upset with me the week before because I forgot Jerry. I didn't know Jerry Gray plays safety as a corner, so he was upset about that.
Yeah, he was upset about
that. He was mad about that.
He's
just
mad about a lot of things.
Yeah,
he's got a right to be mad about that one, though.
Yeah, but he is mad about a lot of things.
We're going to break.
Both exist.
There's the BK Lounge. A bunch of randomness for you on a Monday. It's the Triple Option with RBKD. We've got one segment left. We will wrap up the show and tell you what's on tap next.
Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash your
mouth? Oh, yeah. I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion, sir.
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That's really good.
That's good. That is...
Pop a top again. I've just got time for one.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. I'm Rod Babers, hanging out with Kevin Dunn and Brad Keltner. Before we wrap things up officially, we got to let you know what's on tap for tonight. KD has already checked out, and he is in here dropping lots of language that is not PG-13.
No.
He's upset with his Fighting Irish.
This is over with.
He believes they're getting punked
over with.
The diamond.
Ball game.
It's not.
Texas will take on Mississippi State.
No,
Texas will take on Mississippi State, and let's go ahead and throw that out there.
It's the bottom of the second.
And it's 3-1, and they're walking guys, and they're kicking the ball all over the place.
You're saying this is the beginning of the implosion?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a tough one, baby. Tough one.
BK said he was rooting for Notre Dame because he thought it was an easier path.
No, I'm just a really big fan of Kevin.
Yeah.
Well, it's I like rooting for his team.
Exactly.
Okay.
And this is they're actually proving his point right now.
Yeah, they are.
Nah, that you wanted to see Texas versus Notre Dame rather than Texas versus Mississippi State.
But hey, the good news, if it is Mississippi State, a revenge opportunity for the Longhorns. They were one of the three teams that beat Texas in Arlington in the opening weekend series this year.
That's
so
good.
Texas, a much better team than the team we saw at Globe Life Field a few months back.
That's a nice, sexy storyline.
That'd be nice.
Revenge.
I'll take that. I'll take revenge. A shot of revenge for those fools.
A little 1985 revenge for them where they had Will Clark and Rafael Palmeiro and Bobby Thigpen and Jeff Brantley. And that's their best team ever, and they lost to Texas.
You were one sick mofo. Yeah,
all of those guys were on one team?
Yeah, all those guys are on one team.
And they didn't win?
They lost to Texas.
Nice.
And the SEC Network did like a whole hour special on them. Because they only have so much real long-term baseball history to talk about, so they had to bring that in there, and I was just loving it. Ooh. Loving it and laughing. Because they kind of skipped over how that team ended the season.
Yeah, what happened?
What happened?
They went to the credits before.
Oh, they all got the flu and had to bail. No, they got beat.
They actually, they didn't have the College World Series that year. The players just all went on a strike, so it didn't happen. But they would have won if they had it, for sure.
Oh, Lord.
Wow. All right, so I know what's on tap for KD.
Yeah, you know what that is, and that's the thing about this time is that I love it, but then and Texas hasn't given me this, which has been great. That when you got a team you're rooting for, and you can tell I'm nervous. You got F bombs flying around.
You've been banging on the table.
I have been.
Celebratory reasons and out of frustration.
Yep.
Banging on the table.
Mainly
not bang. Okay.
I started banging when Cumbest got on.
It's Cumbest.
Then write it like that.
Cumbest. Exactly. Thank you, BK.
BK, what's on tap for you, brother?
A couple of NBA playoff games. We've got Sixers Hawks game 4. Philly with a 2-1 lead in that one, and then Utah-LA tonight on TNT. So I'll get that, and also game 1, Montreal-Vegas, one of the Stanley Cup semifinals. A little bit of playoff hockey tonight, too. A lot of sports.
And
I think I'm going to do a YouTube live stream tonight for those of you who follow me on
cool.
YouTube. If you don't, please do.
What are you going to talk about?
Texas stuff.
Good question. Beautiful.
Baseball and football. Just recap the big weekend it was. So if you're looking for more content, we can make it happen. There's a pin toss.
Katie just threw a pin. I'm glad it didn't ricochet and hit me in the back of the head.
Right.
It's very frustrating.
Yeah, like a Keith Hernandez spit.
Yeah.
I'm hit!
It ricocheted.
What about you, Rod? You got something?
Not really. Actually, I'm going to go home and watch some Naked and Afraid. Probably watch some 90 Day Fiancé. A lot of trash TV for me.
Okay.
Pretty good quality trash TV.
I'll be watching trash TV, too. I'm going to be watching Notre Dame play defense.
Makes me want to puke.
Yeah, it does make me want to puke.
Well done.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis is coming up next. We'll talk about the 1-1 tie. We'll get into some of that stuff tomorrow. And as the week goes on, we still have a lot of stuff, including NBA 2 hit. You got Insincerious after that. So Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis, then Insincerious. We will have a winner for you and an opponent for Texas when we talk tomorrow. We appreciate everyone. Specs Texas. Line, get in the Horn app, get in the hornfm.com. We've had a lot of love, and we love y'all right back. For Brad Kellner, for Rod Babers, I'm Kevin Dunn. Hook 'em and peace, y'all. Hey.